All right, we are going to go right into today's message, and I've titled it Teaching Important Skills That Kids Must Know. And this is kind of a universal sermon. It's not geared solely at fathers, even though fathers are crucial in a family situation. It's really applies to both dad and mom. But I am going to read you, because this is really interesting. And by the way, Lee, thank you for, he already had the title to today's sermon on the Facebook page, because I saw it this morning, and it's cool how it like emphasizes how he highlighted certain words. I saw that this morning. I was like, whoa, that's neat. But I'm going to, this is about fathers, some statistics about fathers, okay? Two times, all right? So research shows that when fathers are involved with their kids, not just there, they're involved, the kids are two times more likely to go to college. They are 80% less likely to spend time in jail. Whoa, that's a major one. 75% less likely to experience teen pregnancy. Children in father-absent homes account for 71% of all high school dropouts, 90% of homeless and runaway children, 63% of youth suicides. So becoming a father that's engaged with their children, you know, working with them, and engaged dads set goals and achieve greater success. They form healthy habits for the kids, and the self-esteem increases as dads show the children their value in life. So I just kind of wanted to use that up front, but I want to talk to you about teaching important skills that kids must know. Father, fill me with your spirit for this task and accomplish your purposes, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so there are different types of parents, and here's just four that I put together for today. You got absent parents who are not around the kids much at all. You have parents, number two, who allow their spouse to do much of the parenting. Now, that can happen. I went through a season of time in my life when my kids were younger, and I was working a job and a half, and my wife was working like 15 hours a week. And so she was there, and she did probably most of the parenting. So I understand some of that stuff happens, and it's not all bad. But when dad gets home, he needs to be involved in the parenting as well. Number three, parents who just coexist in the house, but not really parenting. There are many parents that are just kind of there, except when they get irritated, and then here it comes. And that's the only time the kids hear from dad. And then number four, you have parents who want their kids to do well in life, and they look for potential problems in the thinking and behaviors of those kids to point those things out to them as early as possible so that they don't go down a bad path. I can remember my oldest, when he was young, would say things like, he'd get mad at himself, and he'd just really get mad. And I'd look at him and I'd say, "Is the world gonna end?" And then he'd get mad and he'd say, "Stop it, Daddy!" And just like that, I could almost imitate him. And I said, "You know, you don't have to see everything so emotional and extreme, you know, in life, and you don't have to be so hard on yourself. But you pick up all those little things as the kids are growing up, and you try to give them little tips on things that you see that would help them later on in life." And so that is that fourth type of parent. Parenting styles. Some parents are very harsh when they raise their kids, very strict on them and picky. Now, personally, my parents were not overly picky, and I'm so glad for that. I think they were pretty balanced. I don't feel like I was on eggshells all the time where they were going to pick on this or pick on that. So I think I was fortunate there. Some parents are too lenient. And then some parents are inconsistent. One day what the child did was bad. The next day they let it go. And a lot of that's based on how worn out the parent is and whether they feel like dealing with it or not. And inconsistency is the thing that most psychologists will tell you is terrible on children. Way too strict is terrible. You can be a little bit strict. Way too lenient is terrible on the kids. You can be a little bit lenient. But inconsistent is bad for the children. And so you want balance in your discipline and things that you point out to the kids. And you want to look for things that can hinder their future. And so a lot of parents don't even think about those things. And that's what I'm going to try to point out things to you today that many parents don't think about when they raise kids. I mean, there's so many things going on that you have to teach your children. And these that I'm going to give you today, I think, go beyond that and may help you even more. Here's some Bible verses about training children. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, that means sometime in the future when things click in that child's mind, then they're not going to depart from it. And they may depart from what you train them for a long time, but later on, it clicks. At some point in time, oh my goodness, dad was always right, or mom was right on this. Even though I fought them and was a real pain for them. Was any of you here a real pain for your parents? I'm just curious. Okay. All right. So sometimes that comes back to get you later on in life. And where your kids grow up and become a pain, you're going, wow, I did that to mom or dad. And but anyway, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 is another verse, set of verses about training a child. This one's interesting. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Now think of it this way. All of a sudden, this passage switches to verse 7. And verse 7 tells the parent. So first, the passage is almost addressed at the parent, and then it tells the parents that once you get this down, I want you to impress this upon your children. Look at verse 7. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. That's just, your mind is thinking, how can I help the kids succeed in the future? You know, and little things will come up in the course of the day. If you change your thinking, you'll start seeing things that you could point out. Hey, have you ever thought about this or whatever? And that's what verse 7 is talking about. Verse 8 and 9 goes right back to things that the parent needs to be doing as the example to the children. Tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. In other words, take the things that I'm telling you about God and you personally first walk in those things and then train your children accordingly. So that's how I see that passage. Ephesians 6:4, another passage about parenting. Fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. And the Amplified kind of explains that in brackets on your sheets there, but it says, do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord. And I understand that phrase. How many of you really can understand what that's talking about? Because I've had a parent handle it wrong, and I was livid and about ready to go fisticuffs with them. But no other time was I ever like that. But that one time on how it was handled was so bad. And so I understand that verse. I understand what that's trying to say. Other verses are in your handout sheets there. Proverbs 13:24, Proverbs 29:17, and Proverbs 19:18 are just some others. All right, so I'll quickly work to this message. We can't have a long message today anyway, because I'm going to get you out of here by 10. I mean 11, and otherwise you'd already be out of here. And so 11. Well, at least you heard me. All right, so I've got the sermons kind of divided in two parts. The first 6 or 7 points I want to make are really about relationship skills for the kids. And then those last, say, 3 of the sermon are more what the kids are working on themselves. Okay, so these are things that we need to teach our kids. Each parent has to be an example to their kids. And so whatever area, and I'm going to point this out, whatever area you refuse to look at yourself and change that God's been speaking to you about, your kids are going to notice it. So rest assured, that's what's going to happen. So they'll either turn out just like you in that with that same problem area. They'll be, if it's hard-headed or opinionated or whatever it is, they're going to grow up with that same trait, or they're going to notice it with you, and they're going to lower their respect for you is what's going to happen. So we have to grow. Each of us have to grow. I really believe that I'd be a much better parent today than I was when I was raising my kids. And how many of you have ever wondered this about your own life? You've ever thought about the fact that there was so much going on in my life while my kids were growing up, and I hadn't even figured out life myself, that I made a lot of mistakes? How many understand that? And it's by the time you get it figured out, they're grown. You know, and you're like, well, I wish I knew then what I know now. I could have been so much better at this. And I've had to tell myself that with my own parents from time to time. Well, hey, you know, Dad did the best he could. Mom did the best they could with what they understood at the time. And so, but here's some things that I would recommend that go above and beyond how to change clothes, how to wash yourself every day and put deodorant on and put your shoesies on, and all these things that, you know, you should be teaching kids anyway. These go above and beyond. And this is a parent who's looking for how to help them in these particular areas. And the children should feel that the parent is not trying to nitpick them. The kids should feel, Mom or Dad is just trying to help me succeed. And that's what we want. As a parent, you do not want this. Well, I want my kids to really know that I love them. You know, you're focusing too much on yourself. Get over that and focus on how you can help them. And so the only thing you want your kids to know is that you cared, and everything you said or did was to help them succeed. That's what you want your kids to know. So here's the first one. Being an unselfish person who cares about others. Whether the child has a tendency, some children are more loners, and whether they have a tendency to be that or not, they have to understand that we have to have people in our life. We have to. You cannot go out in the woods, in the wilderness, like some people do, to avoid all the population. I just have had it with people. I'm moving out on a piece of land, and then you're going to have a major medical problem, and ain't going to be nobody there to help you. Or you're going to have some other difficulty in life, and there's nobody there to help you because you don't have that special tool or whatever. We have to have other people. I mean, it's a common sense type of thing. For the Christian, God teaches that. So in a lot of ways, the things I'm talking to you about today are things that if you just walk the Christian life and taught them to do it, all this stuff's going to automatically happen because you're walking the Christian life. It's part of the Christian life. God wants you to care about others. I mean, it's the second greatest commandment, to love other people. So that's one thing. You just really want to get that into your kids' mind, that's part of their job in life if they're going to succeed. Showing respect. I personally think that starts at home. And I read somewhere where someone made this statement. It's a pretty bold statement. But it says, if your kids are disrespectful, it lands with 2 people at the top, Mom and Dad. And now that's a pretty strong statement. Because once kids reach a certain age, they're kind of on their own after that. And whether or not they use what you tried to teach them is up to them, and there's not much you can do to control that. But anyway, let's go on down to Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord as his representatives, for this is just and right. Honor," which is a word that is very similar to respect, "honor," and the Amplified Bible words kind of adds this so you understand what it means, "esteem and value is precious, your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise." Now, I looked it up because I was curious, and this is a little hard for me to believe. Cost of raising one child all the way to age 18, $297,000. Now, that's a little hard for me to believe because, you know, that's a lot of money. And so if you have multiple kids, oh, my goodness. Well, for that fact alone, you need to honor your mom and dad. And come on, this thing is really costing. And that all may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Respecting others will normally result in you getting respect back. That's what I've found for me. And I'm just talking about me with that. I have learned if I honor and respect the congregation, usually I will get that back. The only time I don't get it back is because someone else has a problem. And all they see is weakness in that. But the average person, if you honor and respect them, they'll give honor and respect back. And that's how the relationship is supposed to work. And so that's part of what you're teaching those kids. All right, now number three, I'm going to give you a whole new insight. And I'm going to call it worldview. Teaching your kids worldview. And a lot of what parents should be teaching their kids is giving them the proper way of thinking and looking at the world. What that means is how to look at other people, how to look at their own attitudes, how to look at their own responsibilities in life, work, and things like that. And even how to get what you want in life because you're willing to work for it instead of looking for someone else to provide it for you. And I remember Matthew when he was younger. I don't know how he was, 8 probably. And he says, "Dad, I want a four-wheeler. And Dad, you have a sports car." You know, at the time, I had a Firebird. I've had Firebirds for years. And it was one of those with the long front end. And Dad, since you have a Firebird, then I ought to have a four-wheeler. And here's how I answered him. Two words come to my mind. Fat chance. Now, that's a good teaching. Right there, I taught you a good technique to use with your kids. And in the future, every time I had any problem with them, I'd go, two words come to my mind. And I remember Matthew stomping off, and he's going, fat chance. And then he said, hey, you got the point. You know, it worked. But you're trying to teach children, how do they view the world? How do they view people? And I'm going to tell you, for me, I was not good at this. My worldview was not a good worldview. Now, Mom and Dad raised me in the church, and I can remember worship services that were incredible at age 6, as far back as age 6 I can remember. I could feel God's presence, even as a little kid, I remember that. And the preacher was a smart guy. He was really smart. There was at least 4 of us kids that were like best buddies. And so it was me, my older brother Steve, and then Danny Heinker and Dwayne Clinton, Dana's brother. And so we got to take the offering on Sunday nights. Yeah. And they had like these pews, mini pews in the very back where the ushers sat. So we got to sit there and then come down and do the offering during that time. That was special. I will never forget that. But I was raised in the church, and I developed a worldview that went like this. There are good people, and there are evil people. That's it. There's nothing else. Yeah, really. That was my worldview. And it's no wonder that God sent me to Mid-America Nazarene College to study for the ministry. And immediately when I get out, in less than a year, I'm a policeman. It's no wonder. Because I'm sure God looked at me and thought, he is going to make a mess of the church. He has a lot to learn. So I'm going to put him in law enforcement where he can see the worst side of the world and find out there's more categories than good and evil. There's categories that start out good and turn evil. And so there's all different categories out there. And so during those law enforcement years, I was changing my worldview and how I looked at people. And had I not done that, once I got into the ministry, I think I'd have been devastated. And because part of my worldview is this: nobody in the church is going to backstab somebody else in the church, because everybody in the church are good people. Now, that's a bad worldview. Now, I don't want you to go home and tell your kids, hey, people in the church are messed up. We're pretty lucky that we have a great group here that is special. And but not all churches have that. Some churches have backstabbers. Some churches have people constantly criticizing somebody else. And it's one of the things, as you know me as pastor, I am hard on that stuff. That nonsense is not going to go on in this church. And I will address it. And because we're going to keep the atmosphere we have, because we don't backstab people. And in this church, that's a bad trait. It's straight out of hell. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's straight from hell. So don't tell me you're a godly person if you're backstabbing, because you're not. And that is not a trait from God. So I had to change. Now, here's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't remember Mom and Dad ever saying, Mike, there's good people, there's evil people, there's good people that start out being good, and you trust them a lot, and then they turn on you. I don't ever remember that discussion one time. So the first time I had a person in my life that I highly trusted that turned on me, I was devastated. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody else face this stuff? I wish Mom and Dad would have had just a simple little talk to tell me, Mike, let's have a little conversation. And I want to tell you about people. There are many really good people in this world who you can trust that'll never, never try to harm you. But they're rare. I wish we'd have had that discussion, because it took me a long time to realize that in my life. And so I believe that God prepared me through a lot of ways. He prepared me in the first church that I went through that I probably made too many mistakes in. But that worldview, you have to teach your kids. Now, I came to finally, after I started pastoring, I came to a conclusion on people. And I had to tell myself, some people are going to burn you, people that I trusted. But when I find the rare ones that aren't out to do that and they have a good heart, I'm grabbing a hold of them and I'm not letting go. Those people I want in my life. And the others can go all the way, you know, leave. You know, whatever you're going to do, I don't need you around me. I don't need people like that around me. And so I changed my worldview. Now, I think it's part of parenting. It's something that I don't think parents think about, is how can I train my kids to start seeing those things? Now, let me point this out to you. You're not going to train a six-year-old about the different bad personalities in this world. Their brain is not working that way yet. Psychologists say about age 12 or 13 is when the brain will develop to where it can critique. That means criticize, look for things, compare, things like that. Guess where they first use their new traits on? Who? Mom and Dad. That's why you can't do nothing right when they reach a certain age. That's right. You are... Dad, do you know anything in life, you know? And you just think they're totally imbeciles. And then when you hit about 30, all of a sudden, Dad got smarter. No, you got smarter. And you started realizing Dad knew what he's talking about. And Mom knew what she was talking about. That's all part of a worldview that you're trying to teach those kids, as they get 12 and 13, right around that age, you should be able to start training them with how to think right. And God wants us to be a good person, to care about others, to not be prideful, to be good people. But in this world, there are people who do mean things. You need to have that conversation with your kids. And some of them are going through hard times in life, and they take it out on other people. Some people just get bad. And maybe they had some of that in them, and they just needed to get angry about something before it started coming out. Train your kids. There's manipulators, users, people who have bad purposes for you. And then make sure they understand that people can, that you trusted, can turn and go the other way. I think this is a worldview. That's what that is. And make sure at some point in those kids' lives, you're training them on those things. All right, let's go on. How to socialize. I think that's important. So how do you socialize? Well, if you've never done it before, or if you, I tell you, this came to my mind. So I was at this, I've been at a lot of funerals. You know, preachers have to go to these funeral things, you know, and preach at most of them, you know. And so many of the funerals I've been at, the guys who socialize only at a bar, that's their number one socializing skill, have no clue how to socialize. And, you know, if somebody's a little drunk, anything you say is really interesting. You know, and but you go to a funeral, and where will those people be at? All the way in the back of the church auditorium, chatting with somebody else who drinks all the time, too. They don't know how to socialize. You learn how to socialize when you're sober. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you do. Ask questions. You know, what'd you do this week? Anything exciting? And ask questions. And why do I ask questions of you when I visit with you? Because I care about you. I care about you. I honestly do. And I want to know more about your life. What's going on? You know, how's the chickens and the turkeys, Mary? And, you know, and you got any excellent eggs and that you brought today? She sells eggs. And but anyway, so that's socializing. And I think it's just spend a little time with them. Telling them, teaching them how to ask questions that get to know other people. And ideally, you want to train your kids where they can talk and they can listen. Ideally, socializing is best when it goes back and forth equal, both people. All right, so that's part of what a parent's doing. Number five, here's another thing you want to teach your children, how to handle anger, frustration, and difficult people. Y'all know what I mean by difficult people. Surely you have met difficult people. Hard to get along with and hard to work with. And that's part of life. You got to train your kids on how to get along with them, how to view yourself when there's conflict with them. Kids have to be taught that they're going to get frustrated in life. They're going to get real angry at other times and at other people in their life. They also have to be taught that they're going to be in situations where they have to deal with difficult people. It's going to happen. Maybe a person you work with. Most of the time, it's a person you work with in your jobs and stuff. And then you're going to have to handle them. There's a proper way. Teach them. There's a proper attitude and there's an improper attitude. And you can do that a little at a time. Like you can tell a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old some of that. And then as they get a little older, you can give them more information. And so you kind of start out slowly. But they need to know that they're going to get frustrated and there's a right and a wrong way to handle that frustration in life. We don't use revenge. As Christians, we don't use revenge ever. Is everybody here clear on that? Ever. We don't do anything that is revengeful. In law enforcement, here's what I'd hear. Well, they've been doing this and this and this, and I'm just going to teach them a lesson. What is that, revenge? You talk about a mess. I've worked those disturbances, and it turns into a major mess. We don't do revenge. I think there's a Bible verse about that. Isn't there a Bible verse about that? Revenge, vengeance is mine, saith who? The Lord. Okay, we don't do that. You can train your kids. Hey, that looks revengeful, honey. We don't do that. Okay, there's a proper way of handling that and an improper way of handling that. And you can start that early. Number six, setting boundaries without attitude. Oh, that's a tough one. But you can start early in trying to teach your kids that. The counseling word boundaries means you try to have good relationships with other people. You try to treat them right. But also, you don't let yourself be manipulated by other people, used by other people. And you don't have relationships with them that allows that person to stay like they are in a problem area. Counselors call it enabling people. So you give in to them, which enables them to stay exactly like they've been. And I'm not a big person on giving in to people. And I'll do it if God tells me to do it. And I'll always treat people right, because I believe that's the proper Christian thing to do. Even though I may not be happy with them, I'm still going to treat them right, and I'm going to have the right attitude. That's what I have learned from life. And so I'm going to give you this example for me. I will give, I'm not going to hang around. Okay, so just let me be blunt with this. I'm not going to hang around people who think it's their job to control my life and to tell me what I should and should not be doing behind my back, and who are telling other people, well, he should be doing. I get in more trouble, not because I did something wrong. Seriously, this is true about me. Not because I did something wrong, but because somebody thought I should have done something that they think I should have done. That's what I get in more trouble for. Because I don't do a lot of wrong things. I don't try to do wrong things. I'm not that kind of person. And so when people criticize me, well, he should be doing blah, blah, blah. And so, or he should have done this or whatever. And but I just want to tell you, for me, and if there is an atmosphere where I'm hearing where someone's constantly criticizing me, I'm not hanging out there. So I'm telling you right now, I'm going to set boundaries on that. And I'm going to do it without attitude, as best I can. So, y'all understand, I'm just real. I'm one of these preachers that just tells you the truth. You should be able to read right through me and know. So what I would do, like if this continue, I'm dealing with this right now. I'm not going to explain what I'm dealing with. It's not anything here. But eventually, I'm going to get to the point where I'm going to say, I'm not hanging around this. I'm not doing this. I want no part of this. And I'm going to do it without an attitude. It'll be a matter-of-fact thing. And I won't tell people off because I don't think that's the way godly people do things. But there will come a time that I'll first distance myself, start distancing myself. And if the nonsense continues, then if someone mentions to me, how come you're not around much? And I'll just tell them, look, I'm not angry at anybody. I don't hate anybody. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to put myself in an environment where I'm constantly around people who think it's their job to judge my life. I'm not going to hang around that. So you do what you want. I don't hate you. I don't hate anybody. I'm just telling you that that's the way I'm going to live. Now, that's setting boundaries, and your kids probably ought to learn that as well. That's part of teaching your kids. There are going to be friends they're going to develop who are going to try to lead them down a wrong road in life. And one of the things I teach in one of my classes is called MAP class, Minor Awareness Program. In that class, I talk to the kids because they're younger, they're 21 or younger in that one, and I tell them, I say, where do you want to go in life? Where you want to go? And what's going to get in your way of you accomplishing what you want to accomplish in life? And if a friend is taking you down a road that is not going to be helpful to you, then you need to part from that friend. And so We can do that. I would suggest you start that early with some kids. Now, you can't tell a lot to a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 8-year-old. Only so much they understand. But then eventually you're helping them to get it, that so that they're prepared, that if they have a buddy that wants them to let's go drinking at such and such, and all the little games that many teenagers, not all, play, you know, you can start training them early on that. That's called setting boundaries on this stuff. And they don't have to be mean about it, but they need to be firm. I'm not going to put myself in this environment. Don't hate anybody, not against anybody, just not going to be around that. So Proverbs 22:3 says this: a prudent man sees danger. That's what you're training your child. There's danger in this. This person, hanging around this person is not good for me. It's not emotionally good for me. I don't need the frustrations, so I'm going to pull out of it. A prudent man sees danger, takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. All right, so you're helping your children be able to resist peer pressure later on, resist unfair judgment. You're also teaching your kids to mind their own business. It's not your job to decide what's messed up with everybody. You start seeing that, you stop it. It's not your job to figure out what's wrong with everybody else. If you notice something, then you need to pray for them, hon. You know, that's the kind of things you're training them early. 1 Timothy 5:13, Paul was dealing with an issue that was going on with the church that Timothy was involved in, and he said this: besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to say. Number 7, how to reason properly. Now, we live in a day and age that politics in America is messed up. And so surely it's dramatically one way or the other. It's black and white. That's how different politics is today. And I'm just telling you, if I had to raise kids again, and once they reach the teenage age, here's what one of the things I would do. I would go, okay, you got about 10 minutes? You know, I'd say that to my son or daughter. Okay, we're going to play this little game. And they'd look at you funny. I'm sure they will. And okay, so here's the game we're going to play. Why is this person saying the things they're saying? Are they covering up something? Are they honestly telling their side of the story? And then I would give them an example. We would do Governor Newsom out of California. We would have that as a discussion, an example. And I would take issues that are going on right now. Yesterday, in America, there was 2 different waves going on. A whole bunch of people on the verge of violence. And then in D.C., we're honoring the troops for 250 years. As patriotic as it comes. 2 different lifestyles. 2 different ways of thinking. Start when they're a teenager having these discussions. Hun, what do you see in this? And just bounce ideas back and forth until you can train them to look through nonsense. Now, you're not trying to train them to become future gossips, because it could go that way if you're not careful. But you're trying to train them to look through the nonsense excuses people come up with or blaming someone else so you can read, so they can know the truth or whether that's a lie. And I think this is crucial. This is more teenage stuff right here that you want to, and there's lots of material right now going on with politics. You could do this with them. And hey, let's have a little 10 minutes. Dad, I don't want to do that. Just 10 minutes. And then I'll go get you an Andy's frozen custard. You know, you could bribe them, and it's not that expensive. But whatever you need to do, you know, just put up with me for 10 minutes, okay? So let's do this discussion. And that's part of parenting. And that's teenage stuff. You want to get them to where they can see through nonsense. All right, these last three, 8, 9, and 10, are more things that you're training your children about that have to do with things they're going to work on. So I'll go through these pretty quick. Responsibility and hard work. I'm fortunate both of my kids work hard. They are hard workers, and they make a good living because they're hard workers. We have to teach our kids to be hard workers. And you do that by letting them do things around the house, giving them responsibilities that they have to do. For the Christian, you're supposed to do this anyway. Look at the verses, Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. That's what we're told to do. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, as doing it unto God. There were people I've worked for in the past that I really didn't care for, but I did it as unto the Lord. Anybody know what I'm talking about with that? All right, because there's going to be times you may have to do that in life. And then that next one, 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all. Do everything to the glory of God. And sometimes people don't deserve your devotion, but you do it to the glory of God. Number 9, confidence is very important, and I'll be brief on this. I believe that you need to train your children to be confident. Now, you have to balance that. Confidence, actually, people love confidence. If they see confidence, it actually inspires people more. If they see you're not confident, it actually kind of people don't look up to you as much. So a little bit of confidence is good, but teach them the balance. There's a confidence and there's ego, and they have to play somewhere in the middle where they're confident, but they're not prideful about it. Being a good person is our last one. Goodness is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. When I taught, it's probably been 4 years ago or so, I'd say, because it was before 2023 when I gave you the handout sheet of all the sermons I've preached from 2023, 2024, and 2025. That wasn't on there, so it had to have been before that. But that series was good for me because I looked at that word goodness. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I looked it up, and I did research on that. I thought, well, I wonder what that means. Well, it basically means be a good person. Well, what's a good person? A person that never tries to hurt you, and a person that's never against you, a person that's working with God to improve other people and help other people. They are just good people. You can trust them. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And train your kids on that. And here's one of the things you're going to tell your kids. When little Johnny acts like an idiot with you, you're not going to allow them to physically hurt you, but you are going to do the right thing, regardless of their attitudes. You're going to have the right attitude because you are a child of God and you're going to do the right thing. You are not going to become like them. It's the worst thing you could ever do. Become like the person that you've been criticizing that you don't like anymore. You know, I don't want to be like them. I want to be different. So there's 10 things I gave you today, 10 fast things that are extra things that I think most parents never think of these things that I think are important. And Lee Connor is going to close in prayer. Can you believe it?
I was just waiting for the summary.
Yes, yes.
Would you stand with me,
good
please?
To see you, buddy.
Father, we thank you for this special day for fathers. Bless each father that is here and that is listening to us on Facebook. Help us be the godly fathers that you've called us to be. For those of us that have lost children, give us wisdom and discernment in how to handle that child and what to say to them, what not to say, that would lead them to Christ. Be with us today as we go through this day, and bless each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen.